I'd like to read a few scriptures, first of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Read from verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now the little word that I have before my mind is this first word in verse 13, but with a connection with that which we have read. Hold fast the form of sound words. Also in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Also chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the last little scripture I would like to look at in Revelation chapter 2. Verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Paul, writing to Timothy in this second epistle, writes to encourage him and to strengthen him in a difficult day. And even in the day in which we live, with the trials and difficulties and the problems that present themselves, yet we have much to thank God for when we think of the assemblies gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely we see here that Paul had finished his course and he was about to leave Timothy. He had suffered prison, persecution. He had been placed in jail. And for a short time he was released. And although I suppose he did not realize, in a very, very short time, he would seal his life's work with martyrdom and be taken home to be forever with the Lord. Yet Paul never was discouraged at the thought of such a thing, of suffering martyrdom for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. His one desire was to be conformed more and more into his image, to be more like him, and then, above all, to be forever with himself. But he is writing to Timothy, his own son in the faith, one in whom he had confidence, one who had a care for the assemblies. And here he writes here, I was thinking of these words, he encourages them, he brings to his memory the time when he was reached and saved, plucked as a brand from the eternal burnings, and he said, Timothy, now I have been appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He had been called of God. He had been saved by the grace of God. He had been called as a vessel to carry the gospel, the good news, to the Gentiles. He had fulfilled his obligation. And he says here, and the word I was thinking about, in verse 13, in verse 12, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Even towards the close of his life, Paul had this great confidence. He had his confidence in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had saved him, had plucked him as brand from the eternal burnings. The Lord had committed to him a deposit, the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God, the ministry of the word of God to the saints of God. He was also, said he, an apostle, a sent one. And we can see through the scriptures the many, many revelations and mysteries that had been hidden in old times, now made manifest. Now says Paul to Timothy, these things God committed unto me to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles and to those that are round about. First of all, to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. Then he had taught the word of God. Now he says, Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. Well, the margin reads, hold fast the pattern of healthy words, that which will be healthy, that which will be healthy spiritually, that which will strengthen, that which will build up the saints of God, that which will encourage us and lead us on in the ways which are believing, which are in Christ. What are these words? What is that which Timothy was to hold fast? Was there a danger of letting it slip? There certainly was. There certainly was. And there's that danger today of letting slip the things which we have been, which have been committed unto us to maintain in the day in which our lot is cast. First of all, going back to 1 Timothy, we see first of all, it's the gospel. The gospel of the grace of God. The good news of salvation to whosoever will. I want to say, brother, many a time, it thrills my little heart to seek to tell the gospel to those who have never heard it before. People that we might say sit in darkness. Where have you been eternity? Don't know. Don't know. You ever go to any religious place? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You go maybe once in a year. And if you think you're going to die, well, you might go a little oftener. But where have you been eternity? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But hear the gospel message. Warning, sinners are to repent, they're to receive Christ, they're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are to receive him, and the assurance is this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And as Paul says here, I am not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed. Our brethren and sisters, what a privilege it is to have this confidence. Difficulty. And I often see in the homelands that we're so accustomed to it. We're so accustomed to it. But it was a real, real thing to Paul on that day. And it was a real thing to young Timothy. And Paul would encourage him. And I was thinking that I would like to use this as a little encouragement, especially to those of our younger brethren, that they may be encouraged. For I believe there's a great need today that our younger brethren be encouraged to maintain those things which we have been taught over the years, and to maintain them and hold them, because we have a responsibility. Paul had received that commission or that deposit from the Lord, and he was to maintain it faithfully, for he says in the same verse, verse 12, for the which cause I have also suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep me, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I believe the day here that Paul has in reference is the judgment seat of Christ. Paul was looking forward to that day of reward when he would be home with the Lord. And all that he had suffered, all the privation that he had suffered, all that he had endured for the gospel's sake, there would be a reward on that day. And I believe that that would go even in the day in which we live. It would be a word of encouragement to Sunday school teachers. Well, this is my home assembly, although I'll admit I don't really feel at home in a sense in Vancouver, although I was born twice here, and this is actually my home assembly. I'm a Venezuelan, another way to put it. But I feel, as I remember years back, here in the same assembly, I had the class of the bad boys for several years. And I tell you, those brethren, those boys, they'd made me weep more than once. But we did our best in seeking to bring the Word of God before them. And as the boys got older, and you would try to spend maybe two or three days trying to think of something to speak to them on the following Lord's Day, and you hardly get started, about 5 minutes, oh, you've told us that before. And there you were, struggling away and struggling away. But you know one thing? God came in and saved some of those boys, and I'm glad to say they're still in assembly fellowship. Not here, but it's scattered around here and there, saved by the grace of God. And for those who are Sunday school teachers, especially here in Vancouver, I don't know of another place where it has been so richly blessed, and other assemblies have been formed here in this city, here in Vancouver, the result of Sunday school work, struggling with the boys and girls, teaching them the Word of God, and in time seeing them reached and saved, plucked as brands from the eternal burnings. Paul writes, he would encourage in regards to the gospel, the good news of salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in our own assemblies, we still thank God that the gospel is proclaimed. I tell you around the butt, it's not that way. Sad to say. I don't want to waste time in regards to experience, but we have seen places, and it breaks one's heart, to see the way things are carried on. But then, after the gospel is preached, then there's the teaching of the Word of God. Baptism, gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the compartment of those that are brethren. The exercise for prayer in regards to our sisters. The long hair, the covered head, all speaking to us of the headship of Christ, says Paul to Timothy, verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words, of healthy words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. These two things go along with it. Faith, our confidence in the Lord, and our love to our brethren, and love to those that are still without the Savior. No other way that I know of, and seeking to win poor sinners, showing them a little bit of love, a little bit of the love of Christ, letting them know that God loves them, and that Christ died for them, and that they need a Savior to be saved for time and for eternity. We have the same word. Here it is, hold fast the form of sound words, whereas in Titus, it's a similar word that Paul wrote to Titus. Here he says, in regards to overseeing brethren, or bishops, overseeing brethren, the overseers, hold fast the faithful word. What was his faithful word? That which Paul had received from the Lord, and he had committed unto them, and they were to commit it unto others, who were to commit it unto others, and so that the word might pass on down from one to another, and from one to another. I was in the East some time ago,
And was that an assembly?
Good assembly. That we're in happy fellowship with. The leading brother says to me, how are things in Venezuela? And then he added, since Brother Williams passed away. Well, I said, we seek by the grace of God to go on as we ever did, in the fear of God, seeking to maintain scriptures. Yes, he said, I believe that. He said, I often wondered when Mr. Williams passes away, what will happen to the work in Venezuela? Well, actually, what has happened is multiplied since those days, and we can only thank God for that. And Mr. Williams, he always rejoiced in the fact of a certain letter that he received from Mr. Vine, W.E. Vine of Bath, England, many, many years ago. He said, you know, Venezuela is one of the most unique missionary fields in the whole world. And he gave us reason. And I tell you, brethren, as one seeks to go by the word of God and maintain scriptural pattern, that which Paul laid down, overseeing brethren, taught the ways of the Lord, and seeking to maintain those principles, the assemblies will be preserved and kept to go on for the Lord until the Lord comes. And I believe, in a measure, we have our trials, we have our difficulties, but as brethren working together, seeking to maintain scriptural principles, the Lord in His goodness has preserved the work. And we do pray indeed that it may be so until the Lord comes to take His own home to be with Himself. And I was thinking of what we have in Hebrews. We have Hebrews in these days, and thinking a little of this word. These Hebrew Christians have been greatly discouraged. They had come to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had passed through severe persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the first, they were able to meet in synagogues and temples and the like of that, but it would seem that little by little, because of the persecution, they were being driven from these places. And so much of the Jewish economy of the Old Testament, which to them was still very, very dear to them, it had discouraged them. It had caused them to be cast down. And they didn't know what to think or what to say. And not only that, they had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had come. He had taught them. And then He went to the cross, as He had said He would, and suffered and bled and died. And then He rose, triumphant over the grave. And He rose again, and left them behind, as it were, rose to the heights of glory, to sit down at the Father's, sit down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. There they were, passing through trials, passing through persecution, but you see, He would come again. And Paul writes, for I firmly believe, there's too many ways all through this epistle, as far as I am concerned, to see that anybody else could have ever written Hebrews, but the Apostle Paul. Right from the very first verse, there is so much that is so much like Paul that one can hardly feel that any other could have written the epistle. But coming back here, we see that he begins to write. He shows the superiority of Christ to the prophets, then to the angels. And then we come here to chapter 3, and we see the superiority of Christ to Moses. Moses meant a lot to those Jewish Christians, but here is one who is superior. Moses was a servant. Moses was faithful as a servant. But here we have the builder of the house. We have the one who is over all. And so he said to those, because he writes to them in verse 1, he speaks of them as holy brethren. Wonderful expression. Holy brethren. Brethren that are separated. Separated to God. Separated to walk in fellowship with the Lord. Holy brethren. Partakers of the heavenly calling. We've been called with a heavenly calling. Not a calling down here, but a heavenly calling that he might walk worthy of himself. Now he says, to these dear Christians, he says, but Christ, verse 8, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? Whose house are we? We hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of a hope firm unto the end. How often when discouragement comes in, and almost anywhere you go, you find Christians that are discouraged. They find the way hard. They find the way difficult. And instead of having their confidence in this hope of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, everything looked dark. Everything looked dark and dreary. So Paul would write to encourage them. He'd hold fast. Don't let your confidence go. Don't let it go. Hold it. Hold it fast. Hang on to it. The coming again, this hope, the glorious hope of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we shall see Him and be with Him and be like Him for all eternity. I see that is going faster than I realized. In chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast." Let us hold fast our profession. This is the only scripture where we have the Lord Jesus Christ spoken of as our great high priest. And I think it's really lovely to see where it is placed, right in this position here, because we see him in chapter 7 as a high priest made after the order of Melchizedek. But Paul here, or the writer here, he says, certain things that we have. In fact, it's an expression that we find often through this epistle, but a dozen times, if I remember correctly, we have. My, what a word for the discouraged people. We have a great high priest. We have access. We have one in the presence of God. And the normal things which we have in this epistle. But here it is. We have a great high priest. Not only that, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He passed through the heavens. In Spanish, he had this idea, pierced the heavens. He entered into the presence of God. Great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus. Yes, Jesus. His earthly name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Here we have his humanity. The one who suffered from the cold, from the heat, he suffered thirst, he suffered among strangers, he was despised, he was rejected. He knows our every weakness. He knows our every fault, our every failure. Jesus, who? The Son of God. Co-equal, co-eternal with God. We see him here in his humanity. We see him in his divinity. The Son, the eternal Son of God. Why? Here we have one who is in the presence of God. He's on our behalf. And it doesn't matter, brethren and sisters, and those that are younger, what our trials, what our difficulties may be, we have one who is able to sympathize with us, he's able to sustain us, he's able to preserve us, he was able to keep us. And there he is in the presence of God on our behalf. So says Paul, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast our confession, our profession. Let us hold fast of himself. Let us cleave to himself. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And someone has said that a double negative makes the strongest positive, which we see here. Seeing we have not an high priest which cannot be touched, then it is because we have one. We have one who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. Never sin. Thank God for one at God's right hand. Never sin. But he's able to reach down and meet our every need. For this he says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And brethren, we're living in days of need. Great need. Need in the assembly. Need all around about us. That we may be preserved and kept. And we can come to the one who is able to meet our need. Then in the last little scripture, in Revelation chapter 2, a word to the church in Thyatira, which means perfume bruised. I realize that different writers' commentaries have different meanings for these names, but one of them is perfume bruised. I believe it's Mr. Newbery that gives that rendering. Anyway, as we know that these churches are divided in two, the first three, which speak of an earlier period which passed, whereas in these last four churches, we have conditions on each one that continues unto the end until the Lord comes. And it has been suggested that here we see the beginning of popery. And
Popery is a terrible thing.
Popery is a terrible thing. And it was a terrible thing in those days. It was either bow to the cross or lose your head. There was nothing else for it. And yet there were brethren and there were sisters in that day who were willing to give their life for the cause of Christ. I remember some few years ago when I was alone in Venezuela, and I had passed through a time of illness. I was quite sick for a while. And a dear brother in Camden, New Jersey, he wrote me quite an encouraging letter. And he said, you know, I was just reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. And he said, amongst all the martyrs, he said, I found a man there called John Frick. Well, he was faithful unto death. And I thought, well, thank God that there was one that was faithful unto death. I don't know about me. But anyway, his name was John Frick. And here it was at this time, we seek Popery. But then amongst all that corruption that abounded, there's a remnant. And they may not have had very much, brethren and sisters, they may not have had very much. But the Spirit writing says to them, put unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden, but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. It's only 3 or 4 words. Maybe hold fast is just one word. But these 4 words, they've been much in my soul of late. I would like to leave them with my brethren and sisters, that this may be our encouragement to hold fast. Thank God for what we have. Thank God for what we will have in a coming day when the Lord comes to take us home to be with Himself. Meanwhile, brethren, hold fast. We have much to maintain. We have much to be thankful for. May the Lord encourage us to hold fast till the Lord comes to take us home to be forever with Himself.